In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're in this last weekend of the Dormition Fast. These 2 weeks of fasting given to us for spiritual renewal, as we're all struggling, all of us, including the priests, all of us are struggling to the kingdom of God together. And we have our feast coming up, the Feast of Dormition, this glorious feast of the Mother of God. While we're wearing blue, preparing for that on Tuesday night, our feast, so please don't miss that. But every Sunday, every day, in fact, in the church, the readings are chosen for a powerful reason. And today's reading, brothers and sisters, is a very fearful one. It's a very startling reading, and it should sober us up. And a little fear is good. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But then perfect love casts out fear, but we can't skip that step, the Holy Fathers say. Much of Christianity now is Christianity is very willy-nilly, and oh, Jesus just loves you, it doesn't matter what you do, however you feel. Nothing like that could be farther from the truth. The Lord loves us so deeply and died for us that what we do has profound meaning, both in this life and in eternity. What we do in this life echoes in eternity. And so far from just saying, oh, I love you so much, do whatever you want. No, He loves us so much, He wants us to be like Him and to live with Him forever. But when we don't act like Him and we don't live for Him and we crush our fellow human beings, it does have an effect on our soul in this life and in the age to come. Before jumping in the reading today, we're going to sit at the feet of St. Nikolai Velimirovich. His icon's in the back. He is called the new golden mouth of the Orthodox Church, one of the greatest teachers in hundreds of years in the Orthodox Church, and who died here in America teaching at St. Tikhon's Monastery, a truly amazing saint and a great teacher of the Church. And listen to what he says about this Sunday. When the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, He strove in His death throes to be of service to men, not thinking of Himself, but thinking of people. He breathed one of the greatest lessons that He ever gave to the human race. This is the teaching on forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Never before had such words been heard at a place of execution. No, what do you usually hear? On the contrary, those who until then had perished, whether innocent or guilty, usually called on pagan gods and men for revenge. Revenge me, were the words that were often before these of Christ's most offered on the scaffold. And sadly, revenge me are still the words heard today among many people, even those who dare to make the sign of Christ's cross upon their heads and shoulders. But Christ, when He was nearing His last breath, forgave those who mocked and tormented Him and killed Him. He prayed His Heavenly Father to forgive them. And going further still, He found an excuse for them. They know not, He said, what they do. So why did the Lord specifically repeat that teaching on forgiveness? He taught many things, our Lord, throughout His life. But the last final teaching on the cross was about what? Forgiveness. Why did He choose this at the very end? Undoubtedly because He especially desired that this teaching should be remembered above all by Christians. In His undeserved suffering on the cross, majestic above all earthly majesty, and raised up, He gave example of forgiveness, and He set a seal on the gospel. He showed in this way that without forgiveness, rulers cannot rule, judges cannot judge, wise men cannot be wise, businessmen cannot be good businessmen, teachers cannot teach, nor the rich and the poor live as humans. Not even as cattle, they can be nothing without forgiveness. And above all, to show that without forgiveness, man cannot live in this world. It's an amazing teaching. He says, where would we be without forgiveness? Even in the secular world, could a mother be called a mother without forgiveness? Or a brother, a brother? A friend, a friend? Or a Christian, a Christian? No. Forgiveness is the heart and root of each of these titles. Were the words, forgive me, and may it be forgiven you, not to exist, human life would be impossible. How beautiful the words of St. Nikolai. We often think that, well, I'll forgive if someone forgives me. Why aren't people forgiving me? Come on, Father. Why is it always me being the forgiven one? Listen to what St. Nikolai says. Could we but know how much is secretly forgiven us every day and every hour, not only by God, but by other people, we would hasten to, without shame, to forgive others. How many careless and insulting words do we throw out, to which no one replies? How many furious looks do we give? How many inappropriate actions and acts that are terrible? And people pass over them, not returning an eye for an eye to us, or a tooth for a tooth. What then can we say about God's forgiveness? For this, no human words are adequate. A divine word is needed to describe the incredible depths of God's compassion and His forgiveness. Listen to what the Lord says in today's Gospel. Who is there in heaven and on earth who could express and describe that which is in God? No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and to whomever the Son will reveal Him. The Lord Jesus Christ showed today. Because we know in the Gospel, right before this Gospel reading, we know He was teaching about forgiveness to Peter. And Peter said, how often should we forgive? Till 7 times? Right? The Lord responds, not, I say unto thee, 7 times, but 70 times 7. There's a very difference. 7 times or 70 times 7. Compare these two statements and you'll see the difference between the mercy of God and the mercy of man. You know, Peter thought he was doing pretty well. I'm not like most people, forgive 1 time. I'm going to say forgive 7 times. Isn't that merciful? And the Lord said, not even close, until 70 times 7. And because Peter was shocked by this, that's why he gave the homily, or gave the parable that he gives us today. And it begins the beautiful beginning. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king that would take account of his servants. So the Lord, who is the King of heaven, He's telling us a little bit of what, just a shadow of what heaven's going to be like. And so I want to be in heaven. I want you to be there too. And so it behooves us to listen to what it's going to be like by the person who's going to decide how it all works out, wouldn't it? I think we often look for direction. How do I live my life? The Lord has come to us. God has become a man. And in the Gospel today, He's telling us exactly how to live and what happens if we don't live that way. He tells us about a king. And a king takes account of things. He watches things. And someone is brought to him who is deeply in debt. Many of us are in debt. Nothing like this man. It says that he owed 10,000 talents. To give you an example for that, that number is incredible for the Lord's time. That was more than a nation could owe another person, the fathers say. It was an impossible amount to ever repay, this slave to repay his master. I don't know what happened to him, the fathers say. He got into debt, something happened, and it wasn't possible to pay it off ever. Why did the Lord use this incredible number? St. Nikolai says, because to show the amount of our sins. He chose a ludicrous amount because our sins are like that before God. There's no way we're going to pay it back. It's impossible. It's impossible. The sins of mankind, it needs God's mercy. So listen to what he says. He says, he goes on to say, so what happened? He says, I'm going to sell you because you're in debt to me. I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children to slavery. That sounds so merciless. That was the common law of the time for the Jews and for the Romans. This was a standard. But the Holy Fathers say beautifully, like our Heavenly Father, He knew He was going to forgive him, but He was trying to provoke a sense of repentance. He knew the law, but He knew He was going to let him off the hook in just a minute, if depending on his reaction. He knew his life was on the line because of his stupidity, because of his sins. He was in deep debt, and now he was going to suffer, his wife was going to suffer, and his children were going to suffer. The same thing that suffers because of our stupidity and our ego and our sinfulness, the fathers say. They were sold. And he's waiting to see what happens. Listen to what it says next. So beautiful. He says, the servant repented. A little bit. Right? He fell down on his feet And he said, Lord, have patience with me. Forgive me. I'll pay it all back to you. Impossible. But nevertheless, he said, please. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him. So he released him from being a slave. And he forgave everything. The man asked for one thing, he gave it all to him. What a sudden change. What a cheaply paid ransom. And what measureless mercy. The wicked servant, who had such a huge debt, had no one to turn to the right or to the left. No one in the world could help him but his Lord. On the one side was his Lord, and the other side his fellow servants. The other servants dared not help him. They couldn't afford it. Only he who judged him was able to help him. So he did the only thing it was possible and sensible to do. He fell at his Lord's feet and he begged for mercy. He didn't beg to be forgiven the debt. No, he didn't think of that. Just give me time. And the king, who was a true man and a true king, forgave him and loosed him. He gave him twofold freedom from slavery and from debt. Is this not truly a kingly gift? It is not the way that most earthly kings behave. Such unlooked for mercy can only come from the heavenly king. He does this and does this and does this often, our Lord. Whenever a sinner like you and I comes to him and repents, the heavenly king is ready to forgive 10,000 loads of sins and return to the sinner all the gifts of which he had been deprived. Not only can no one attain to the measure of God's benevolence, we can't even describe it. The love of God and his forgiveness, its words can't even describe it. Isaiah says, in the words of Isaiah, the Lord says, I have blotted out as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee, says the Lord. He who turns to God in sincere repentance receives God's forgiveness for all his sins. And he gives him more time, a further testing time, to see if he'll hold on to the Lord or if he'll betray him. So forgiveness comes with a price. It's not just you're forgiven and that's it, go back to your sinful life. No, our forgiveness depends upon what we do after we receive it. King Hezekiah in the Old Testament was on his deathbed and weeping. He turned his face to the wall and prayed to God, prolong my life. And God gave him a further 15 years. And listen to what he said. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind your back. A similar thing happened with the servant we hear about today. He was so heavily in debt. He begged his Lord, please help me. And he forgave him everything. So what was the result? What was the response of this man? He went and did the exact opposite. The exact opposite after receiving incredible mercy, like we so often do. He walked out, and we know what happened. He walked out, and he saw the first servant. He's a slave. He's free now, and he goes to one of his fellow slaves after this incredible mercy. And he says, give me what you owe me. It was 100 pence, like pennies. You were forgiven billions by standard, worldly standards, and you're owed pennies. And he walks out and he took him by the throat, choking him, saying, pay me what you owe me. Forgiven and freed by his Lord, the servant found a fellow servant who was in debt to him. While the king behaved like a king, this man behaved like a terrible wretch. And what did the man do? The same thing he just did. He fell down and he prayed, have patience with me, I'll pay it all to you. And he probably could pay it back. The same exact scenario is given to him. Same words, Lord have mercy, I'll pay it all back. He didn't have compassion on his debtor. Nothing. He showed no mercy, no compassion, no forgiveness. What did he do? He says he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. This is how this newly forgiven man behaved towards his fellow servant. St. Nikolai says, this is how people treat other people. This is how man behaves to man. And such behavior of man to man turns, listen to this, turns God's mercy into God's justice. Whenever a man plays with God's mercy, God's justice catches up with him. And the justice that follows on from this squandered mercy is terrible. St. Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he shall also reap." We mock God when we kneel, come into confession, begging His mercy for our so many sins, and we straightway afterwards cast our brother into a prison of sorts for one single sin against us. Let us not deceive ourselves. God does not allow Himself to be mocked, ridiculed, or played with. We are never far from hands of God, both the hand that caresses and the one that chastises. St. Paul says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're going to see how fearful it is now. What happened next? He called his fellow servants, thank God. What happened? People were shocked by this man's cruelty. Shocked. You had incredible mercy and you did this? Thank God there's good people in the world still. His fellow servants, the fathers say, those were the other servants of goodwill, and those are the angels and the saints that watch us. People who still care about goodness. And the Lord, he heard what happened, and he called that first servant back to him, the king. Oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you everything because you asked me, because you desired me. Shouldn't you have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? Listen to what St. Nicholas says. The king will not punish the wicked servant before spelling out his wickedness to him. This is how the Lord will act to each of us at the last judgment. He will turn to those at his right hand and call them to eternal bliss and explain to them how it is they got there. And he will turn to those in his left hand and they will go to a place of eternity away from him and explain to them how it is that they got there. The Lord desires that each should know why he deserves a reward or a punishment, so that none should think that God is being unjust with him. God calls the first servant wicked, and thereby forever estranges him from himself, for evil can have nothing in common with good. And then what comes next? I forgave you all your debt. God doesn't go into detail, doesn't say, I forgave you this much, there was so much. He just says, I forgave you all that debt. And he says, why? Because you asked me. He didn't explain why and say, you cried, etc. Because you asked me. We thought he repented. Prayer without repentance is of no use. The servant with the huge debt really did show repentance. Like I think we often come to confession and we say, I am sorry. But repentance isn't finished. And so he felt bad and he begged his Lord, help me. His prayer was heard at once, the sinful man. And his Lord did for him way more than he ever asked. The Lord goes on to spell out his wickedness to his fellow man. I was merciful to you. Shouldn't you have been merciful to others? Why didn't you do this? There was a horror of silence. And then came the horror of condemnation. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. When God's mercy turns into his righteous justice, then God is truly fearsome. Blessed David says to God in the Psalms, but thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when thou art angry, O Lord? And Isaiah says, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his righteous anger. We often hear this very like buddy Jesus. Jesus is full of love. He is love itself. But love isn't just do whatever you want love. Love is a burning fire that purges of our sins. Love and hatred have no place together. The king then is angry with the burning anger against this unmerciful servant and delivers him who to the tormentors? The fathers say the evil spirits to whom he had, from lack of compassion, become open to. When we hate people, when we take our forgiveness and trash it, We welcome the demons into our life, the Holy Fathers say. So likewise, the last words of this gospel today. My Heavenly Father will do unto you. The Lord speaking to each of us these words. So likewise, my Heavenly Father, when you are judged, will do to you if you in your hearts forgive not everyone their trespasses. It's real simple, brothers and sisters. If you don't forgive other people, God will not forgive you. It's the end of the parable, and it strikes to the heart. There's no hedging around these words or explaining them away or, oh, I thought Christianity was about love. This is true love to save us from ourselves. In the way we behave to our brother, God will behave to us. The Lord Jesus made it clear to us. And with Him, there's no lack of knowledge or any slight possibility of error. Maybe Jesus was a little bit off on this. No, He's God. He doesn't say, by the way, your Father in heaven. He says, this one, He says, so likewise, my Father in heaven. Why does He say that? Because if we do not forgive our brothers and sisters their sins, we lose the right to call God our Father. How terrible is that? The Lord also spells out the manner of our forgiveness. He says, forgive from all your heart. Not just, I forgive you, but I hate you. I forgive you, but I remember you. I remember all the bad things you did to me. Forgive from all your hearts. The king forgave that huge debt from the heart because he was moved with compassion, it says. And compassion only comes from the heart. If we don't forgive our brothers and sisters, and we do it not from our hearts, with compassion and love, then the Lord will not deliver us. The Lord also says in the gospel, other places, however you treat people, that's how you're going to be treated. Whatever measure you give to people, the same measure will be applied to you. It's said numerous times in the gospel. My spiritual father always tells me, do you want the mercy treatment from God? Of course I do. Then give the mercy treatment to others. They don't deserve it. Neither do you, he often says to me. Mercy is called mercy because it's not deserved. Every day, what's the prayer we all say as Orthodox Christians many times a day? The Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. The better word in Greek is debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Every day, with these fearsome words, we renew a promise and an agreement to God, praying Him to deal with us as we deal with those close to us, to forgive us as we forgive, to show mercy as we forgive and show mercy. How easily we bark orders at God, and what a terrible responsibility we take on ourselves. It is easy for God to forgive to the measure that we forgive others. It is easy for every one of us to forgive a big debt. Oh, brothers and sisters, that we were ready with such divine ease to forgive each other a debt of greatness or even a little. Believe me, however great one's man debt is to another, however much someone has trespassed against us, and people, by the way, have been very hurt. People have been abused, raped, molested, horrible things. And you can justify, that person hurt me, I'm not going to forgive them. However great that might seem to you, this comes to no more than a penny compared with the enormous debt that every one of us has to God. We are all of us, especially me, without exception, greatly in God's debt. He gives us our life, our family, our friends, this church, our faith, the moon, the stars, the trees, every little beautiful thing that screams out that He loves us. And we despise Him and others often. We are in God's debt. Whenever we think of taking our fellow people to court, we got to remember, and I don't mean a court like a legal court, that too, but court of our conscience, our mind, let's remember that we owe God way more. But He still waits for us. God delays the repayment. He's patient, and He keeps forgiving us over and over. We must remember that the measure we give to people is the measure we're going to get. And please, St. Nikolai asks us, remember the words of Christ as they crucified Him. Father, forgive them. He who has a conscience, and it's in all of us, even if it's tarnished and barely there, it's still there. We should be ashamed by remembering this. And we should hold back our hand from crushing our brothers and sisters. Let us hasten today, in this holy day, brothers and sisters, to forgive every insult, every sin, so that God can forgive our numberless sins and insults. Let us hasten. Let's hurry, not delay, before death knocks the door and cries, "Too late!" Beyond the door of death, we shall not be able any longer to forgive or be forgiven. Glory be to God's mercy and His justice. Glory and praise to our divine teacher and Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, in this sober reading today, you might think, "Oh, I came to church to feel good about myself." And this is true love from our Lord. The Lord, risen from the dead, died for us, did everything for us. You're going to receive Him today. He's going to come into you in Holy Communion. And how often do we leave here and trash people? You walk out and judge the first homeless person you see. You bark at your wife or your husband. You bark at your kids. You walk out and give the middle finger to someone while you're driving home from church. You get home and go right to something sinful, judgmental. Maybe not like this, but you do it in your mind. We all do it. And in so doing, we lose the mercy of God. But the joyful part is this, the opposite is true. If we love people, if we give them mercy treatment, guess what? We're always going to get it from God. And that gives me hope, brothers and sisters. I am a great sinner. I know I need God's love and mercy. There's only one thing required to get it. Stop being so darn judgmental of other people all the time, which we so terribly are. And because we in this church are so, we love each other, we're thankful, and we often go to confession. Remember that feeling when you were baptized. If you're baptized as an adult and you feel you're totally new, all your idiocy is gone. And how it's renewed whenever we go to confession. You feel like the weight of the world's off your shoulders and you could dance because God loves you so much. We have to share this forgiveness. I know that feeling when I've hurt someone and I feel so terrible. And I go to them and when they're willing to forgive me, at the taste of paradise. Not just nice singing and nice. That's paradise. When I was in college, I had a fellow Orthodox Christian I lived with. Some of you know this story. And we were getting ready to get married, Serafima and I. And we're moving out of our apartment. And it had some cleaning problems we had to do and get some stuff ready. And it's like our wedding night. And my roommate went to my fiance then's house, asking her to help come clean it up. Oh, baby. I was angry. I had done my part. How dare you come and leave our wedding and ask her to come? Oh, I was steaming. And when he came to my house, I let loose like I hadn't in a long time. I rarely lose my temper. It's not because of virtue, it's just my nature. But when I do, whoa! I just remember kicking boxes across this courtyard and screaming at the top of my... I never do that. Wow, I unloaded on this guy. It had been building up for a while. And he walked away. And then I thought, wow, here we go. I'm getting married. I love that friend. How am I going to stand before God and this wet on the altar and get married to my wife? How am I going to do anything? I destroyed him. You know, in the world, you know what happened in the world? Friendship over. Relationship over. People carry those wounds over, over, over. Thank God for the life in Christ. I went. He worked at Whole Foods. And I went to his job, and I went around the deli counter, and I made a frustration, this disgusting deli floor, and I wept before him, and I said, "Forgive me. Don't get me wrong. He ticked me off. And I think what he did was wrong. But not what I did." And you know what? Like a good Orthodox Christian, he fell at his face, and we wept there on that disgusting floor of the deli and embraced each other. It was very powerful. It was a life-changing experience for me to realize, and I felt truly renewed. I felt more loved by Christ through this person at that moment than ever before in any time in church. So brothers and sisters, take this lesson seriously. Let us be sobered by this. If there's someone that you hate, figure it out. Go ask forgiveness. It's very dangerous to come to communion if you hate somebody.
If you hate someone, if you hate a priest, you hate a bishop, you hate your spouse, you can't have hate. The Lord can only deliver you from it. Come to confession and say, this person hurt me, but I want to try to forgive them. Forgiveness is a process. We know it's not easy. It's not a light switch, maybe once, but you are dedicated to forgiving that person. Maybe who hurt you deeply. You offer that person paradise. And when you do it, paradise is open to you. The world doesn't know about this. The world's vicious and dog-eat-dog, business, school, do it right, justice. You can pepper this world with the light of Christ with these little but powerful, humble acts. I ask you forgiveness for all my shortcomings, brothers and sisters. And I ask you to forgive me from the depths of your heart. And let us leave here full with Christ. The repentance is finished. Let's not be with the slave to get forgiven and then walk out and throttle people. Let's go out and give that same measure of grace to this desperate and sinful world. May God help us. Forgive us, O Lord, in your great mercy, all of our debts and your love for mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.